What's up, Undisputed listeners? It's your boy, Shay Sharp. I wanted to tell you about my new podcast, Club Shay Shay, where we always do something before two something. Each week, I sit down with a guest for a drink and conversation, and as host and proprietor of Club Shay Shay, I welcome in esteemed guests such as Snoop Dogg, Floyd Money Mayweather, LeVar Ball, Isaiah Thomas, just to mention a few. Whether I'm talking to an athlete, a musician, an actor, or a lifelong friend, Club Shay Shay is a place where people share inspiring and motivational stories about their journeys to prominence. The new episode drops every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to Club Shay Shay now and make sure you never miss a new episode. Now back to Undisputed.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
New tracks, new teams, and a new champ. The 2021 NASCAR season starts in just 2 weeks with the Great American Race, the Daytona 500, February 14th, only on Fox. Racing season, couple weeks away. Oh, Shannon's ready for it. He's excited.
You know him as Bubba.
NASCAR guys over at the desk. Oh, I like racing. I've always been a fan. It'll be fun to watch this season, guys. Well, how about this? The GOAT, Tom Brady, spoke to reporters during yesterday's virtual edition of Super Bowl opening night, and the ageless wonder made it sound like he wasn't ready to hang up his cleats anytime soon. The 43-year-old QB has been on the record saying he wants to play till age 45, but yesterday he said he'd, quote, definitely consider playing past that point. We're now joined by Hall of Famer and Fox NFL analyst Eric Dickerson. Eric, it is great to see you. And unfortunately, I'm not going to ever let you forget this because you have called Brady an old ass man. You know, I know that it was before those comments were made, but is he delusional for wanting to play three more years?
Well, I'll still say this. He's an old man for football. And all of us know that on the pound. But come on, let's be for real. For sure. No doubt about that. But you know what? He's playing great football. And the thing is, he plays the quarterback position. This is a totally different position than any position on the field. You can't hit the quarterback, especially you can't hit Tom Brady. There's no doubt about that. But the game has changed so much. I mean, but I think the great thing about Tom Brady is that he can read a defense so fast. I mean, he's like having an offensive coordinator on the field. You know, we always say that players know what's going on the field. And he's that guy that really knows what's going on the field. And they've given him so many more weapons. I mean, he has Mike Evans, he has Chris Godwin, he has Scotty Miller, he has Leonard Fournette. I mean, so they've given him a lot of weapons. And I got to give Tom Brady credit for this. He sacrificed his own pay, you know, to have players around him pretty much his whole career, especially when he became the Tom Brady that we know. But for sure, I think that he can play till he's 45. But I say it again, the position that he played, quarterback, most definitely. And, you know, if you ask, I think, any quarterback, I just asked my friend Rodney Pete this last week. I said, Rodney, can you still throw the ball, you know, 50, 60 yards? He said, yeah. But, you know, that arm, it's really their arm strength what it comes down to, you know, and can they take a hit? And Tom, you're not going to hit Tom that much anyway, and his arm strength is going, he'll be able to throw a football 50, 60 yards when he's 65 years old. That's how quarterbacks are. But if he had to run, he's never been mobile. So, you know, we know that. But like I say, it's like having an offensive coordinator on the field. So, most definitely can play these 45, but I'll say that to say this. He's still an old man for football, but he's playing great football.
Go ahead, Skip.
So, Eric, when I watched Tom say this live yesterday, I told Shannon it made me laugh out loud at Shannon, but I also thought of you, Eric Dickerson, because both you guys are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I think it just eats at you that this guy is still going strong. He's in the Super Bowl at 43, and he's talking about, hey, maybe I go to 46 or 47. And it eats at you because it's just shattering the mold. It's like it's hard to make peace with it because you guys were forced to. You were 35. Mm-hmm. How old were you, Eric, when you had to stop?
33.
God. Unbelievable because your position took that out of you. And it still takes it out of you today because you're not like the healthiest guy right now because you have your back issues and it all came from you died for the cause when you played.
Yep.
Okay? So that's why I think about you guys. I hurt for you guys. But this guy is a one and only because he says, I'm all in. He doesn't really like to do anything else outside of his family except obsess with football. Like Shannon says, Eric, he just got sick and tired of the meetings, the drudgery of it, getting ready mentally for every game. This guy's still on fire with it, and I've never seen anything like it, and I'm not sure we're going to ever see anything quite like it again. I'm not sure.
Well, Skip, I'll say this. Think about this here. Imagine if Tom Brady would have told you that he wants to play till he's 45 or 46 and he was 33 years old. If he'd have said that, then you're like, oh, that sounds crazy.
Well, they would have called him crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
But now he's 43 and he's talking about playing to 45, 46. So now it seems feasible. I mean, it would be like if any other player said that, you know, that I want to play till I'm 45 and he says he's 26. You're like, man, you're not going to play that long. You know, yep. And so Tom Brady's there and he's doing it. So that's what makes it so great. And I think, you know, like I said, he's playing at a high level. You know, he's putting his team and the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl that I don't think anybody thought it. I didn't think it would happen this year. I really didn't. I said his first year, no. I said I think he'll play good football because he's Tom Brady. But I didn't think he'd be in the Super Bowl.
Wait, somebody on Undisputed thought that, but go ahead. That's just
because he has Tom Brady stand.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it, you're right, Ed. But if you look at it, even if Tom Brady had said this at 37, Aaron Rodgers is 37. Can you imagine Aaron Rodgers saying, I'm going to play till I'm 45? That's another 8 years. Mm-hmm. But like ED says, 2 years from now, that seems realistic because we, all intents and purposes, I think there's a 95% chance that he comes back and play next year. So that way, unless something cataclysmic happened, hopefully it doesn't, he has one more. But to say 45 when you're in your mid-30s, that's a whole different ball game.
You realize his father, about 5 years ago, was quoted, I think, in the New York Times as saying, they're going to have to put a straitjacket on my son and drag him off the field to make him stop.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah, he's not walking away, Skip.
Okay, but the point is right now, he doesn't even need to think about walking away because I personally, I don't know about you, but I don't see decline. I don't see skills declining. I see him operating at just as high a level as he ever has.
Well, LeBron, you remember LeBron tweeted, I will play, I'm going to jump until the wheels fall off, just like Tom Brady go play football till the wheels fall off. And that's what's going to happen. You're going to have to drag LeBron. They're going to have to drag Tom Brady out there. Because, Skip, now he doesn't say, well, me and my family, my wife and I, we'll sit down and discuss it. He says, I'll know.
Okay.
Giselle is basically giving up that fight. She said, you know what? I'm going to fight about something else. Maybe we go on a couple of extra vacations in the offseason.
I got that. But there's no shame in the way he performed this year because he threw 40 touchdowns. Right. And he's looking around at a young Mike Evans and a young Chris Godwin and a very young Scotty Miller.
Right.
I know Gronk is getting to the end of the line, but Cameron Brate's pretty good, and O.J. Howard is going to come back. So is he not set up?
Well, if you see what he did, Skip, as he got later in New England, he transitioned away from being OTAs. So he spent a little bit more time with his family. So that was a give and take. Giselle says, okay, you want to come back and play? Well, I'm going to need more time on vacation with the family.
Yep.
Tom says, oh, I can do that. I'm sure he'll pass that along. Hey, B.A., I ain't going to be here for it's going to be interesting to see what the COVID protocols, how it goes forward moving forward. But there's a good chance he's going to be in Monaco or somewhere else on vacation.
He will be. Eric, do you see any decline in Brady's skills?
No, I really don't. I mean, you really don't. I mean, he can throw the ball just like he did 5 years ago. I mean, probably not even when he was in his 20s, for sure. But, I mean, no. And like I said earlier, Skip, he's like having an offensive coordinator on the field. He doesn't need help. He doesn't need you to be in his ear to tell you what to do. You know, he's that guy. He knows what to do. When he sees the defense, they're trying to blitz me right now. They're trying to disguise it, but I see it right away. That's the great thing about Tom Brady. And Chan, I think both of us can attest to this. You know, football is really like a kid's sport. It really is. It's a game. You know, and you want to play that game as long as you can. And if you can play it at a high level, why stop playing? I mean, I guarantee you Tom Brady, he loves football. I mean, he loves it just as much as he did the day he started. Especially now he's back in the Super Bowl where he's been so many times. I mean, why would he want to stop? I mean, he wouldn't want to stop after this year. Look, I went to the Super Bowl. Let's do it again.
I think the thing that it's going to be hard to see if Tom's declining, because he has such a plethora of talent around him. ED, it had been the equivalent of you being 33 and you had that young Rams offensive line blocking for you. You might have wanted to keep playing until you were 30, 35, 36 when they opened the holes like that. But as you like you said, but we played different positions. We played, it was a lot more physical. We just couldn't go down. You throw us the ball, we see a guy coming to hit us. We just couldn't fall on the ground, ED. We had to try to run through that.
Yeah, we couldn't slide.
Nah, ain't no sliding. You play any position other than the quarterback.
All right, so Eric, speaking of Brady, they're a 3.5-point underdog to Kansas City, obviously the reigning champ. What shot do you give Brady and the Bucs to win this game Sunday evening?
Oh, man, I give them you pick them. I mean, it really is because of the guy, Tom Brady, because of him. But Tom Brady makes everyone play that much better. He makes you play at a high level. You know, when he comes on the field, guys that never played with Tom Brady, had seen Tom Brady from a distance, had, you know, heard about Tom Brady when they were kids, and they're on the field playing with him, they don't want to let Tom Brady down. They're like, hey, Tom Brady's here. He's been to, 10 Super Bowls? Yep. This is 10th Super Bowl. I want to play great. You know, I think about the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs have so many weapons. I mean, they have so much speed on that football team. But you know what? That's why we play the game. You know, you can't say, well, you're going to win it for sure, or this team's going to win it for sure. So I give them, I mean, it's you pick them. Whoever you like, you take. My pick. You want to know what my pick is?
Yep.
I'm going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. I just think they have too many weapons. I think they got too much going on over there. I mean, and I got to say, my cousin, he's over there too, so I got to go. That's my main reason for going with it.
Who is that?
Ricky Seals Jones. He's from Kansas City.
Oh, tight end. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, tight end.
Okay. So you going high score, medium score?
I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think it could be like 33-35, 33-30, something like that. Okay. I think it's going to be some scoring in this football game.
Yeah, it's not very often that you beat the Kansas City Chiefs scoring fewer than 30 points. You normally have to get to that number. The thing that concerns me is that they're going to be, Kansas City ED is going to be without three starting offensive linemen and two of them are tackles. And we saw the havoc that JPP and Shaq Barrett wreaked on Aaron Rodgers in the championship game. That's going to be the key. If they can pressure him like they did Aaron Rodgers, it makes Kansas City job that much tougher. But even if you do pressure him, you still got to hope Mahomes is off because he's so good at throwing off his back foot. He has so much arm strength that he can get the ball even when you're dragging him down. So I believe it's going to be, and if they don't pressure him, I don't see how they beat him. I don't believe Tampa can win a back and forth game, a shootout 35, 38, 41, 38. I don't believe Tampa can win that type of game. But if they can get pressure on him and neutralize him in the red zone, because that's what they did better than any team in the playoffs. When teams got into the red zone, they made you settle for field goals. They didn't give you touchdowns.
And I do remind you that the Bucs took down Aaron Rodgers 5 times with only 4 rushers.
They did.
Okay?
Yep.
So if you can do that to Mahomes, if they could take him down 5 times, at least get to him and rough him up, they could hang in the game.
Well, that's the only way you have to do it.
They don't have the weapons that Kansas City has. I mean,
nope, they do not.
Kansas City has, you pick your poison over there.
But the question I want to see, I want to know what's the answer for Tyreek. I want to know because he's been hot in the playoffs and he hadn't missed a beat since that game.
There's only one answer. It's JPP and Shaq.
That's it.
No, that's it. Because they don't have a corner who can run with them.
No.
They don't have a safety.
No.
They have been torchable in the secondary too often this year. Especially, and obviously, Tyreek had 203 receiving yards in the first quarter at
especially
Tampa.
Especially, Skip, when they don't generate pressure.
Yep.
When they can get pressure, it makes their job, those DBs play with a lot more confidence. It's going to be interesting because we saw how they did Drew Brees. They were getting pressure. And though I don't believe you can press these receivers like you press New Orleans and Green Bay because you miss Tyreek and it's a touchdown.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place. Whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this. crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, foxsports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com. No mercy.
Well, the Rams are just 2 years removed from making the Super Bowl with Jared Goff and are hoping they can get back next season after agreeing to trade Goff to the Lions for Matthew Stafford. Stafford has never won a playoff game in his 12-year career with Detroit, but his arm talent has always been well-respected around the league, so L.A. figured it was worth parting ways with multiple draft picks to get him. Rams legend Eric Dickerson is still with us. So, Eric, in your opinion, will Stafford be worth the price the Rams had to pay just to get him?
I really believe so. I like Matt Stafford. I liked him in Detroit. I just thought he was in a bad situation for a long time. I mean, I think people, you say he hadn't won a playoff game and, how many games he won. But you got to look where he was. He was in Detroit. I mean, I always think that if I would have been in Detroit my whole career, started in 1983, I would be the same Eric Dickerson. I mean, you got to look at the situation. I think certain players, the situation that they're drafted into, it's not their fault. It can make a break. And in Matt Stafford's case, he was unfortunate enough to be drafted by the Detroit Lions and really had no help. You think about his great receiver that I think should go in, we'll probably want to get big going to Hall of Fame, Calvin Johnson. He retired because, look, he said, they're not about winning. Okay, Barry Sanders, the same thing. I mean, so, I don't think it's Matt Stafford's fault, but I really believe that he's the missing ingredient that we need at the Rams. I mean, we had a great defense this year, and I think the quarterback play was not up to, I think, what Sean McVay expected. And I think that, with the Angelinos in Los Angeles expected, because, you want your guy to play well. I wanted Jared Goff to play well, but the last 2 years, let's just be honest, he hasn't played well. And when you're making, $35 million a year, you want a better play out of your quarterback. And I think it would be no different if it was a running back. If you're paying that kind of money, you should expect better play out of him. But I really believe that Matt Stafford is the missing piece. And, when sometimes you look at a football team and you think, what are they missing? Are they missing 2 pieces, 3 pieces, 4 pieces? I think for us, when I look at the Rams, I think we missed 2 pieces. I think we need a speed receiver and a real top-notch quarterback. And I like the trade. I think that when you look at giving up draft picks and all that kind of stuff, I'll use myself. The Rams traded me, and they got eight players for me. They got three number ones, three number twos, and 2 players. Well, the players really didn't pan out. I mean, I think one of them, Flipper Anderson, probably the best thing that happened for the Rams. Other than that, the rest of them didn't pan out. But the Dallas Cowboy trade, when they traded Herschel, they drafted great. They got great players. So it depends on, how you draft. Number one draft picks, they don't mean nothing unless you pick the right guy. You can get a guy in the fourth round, sixth round, that can do the same thing. I mean, I'm thinking about Tom Brady, six-round draft pick. Antonio Brown, I think, six-round draft pick. It's a lot. T.O., third round draft. It's a lot of players that I think they're like, oh, they give up all these picks, these draft picks. And draft picks don't mean nothing. Sometimes the people picking, you're like, what are you looking at? So for me, I think he's the missing piece.
I agree. Matthew Stafford is an upgrade over Jared Goff, but that was a steep price to pay for a guy that's going to be 33. And although 33 now, 33 is the new 28 for the quarterback. It used to be once a quarterback got to be 30, Skip, you're like, well, he on borrowed time now, Edie. It's only a couple of more years and he's going to be out of the league. But although he hasn't missed a lot of games over the last few years, he has been battered. Broken bones in his back. He had rib cartilage, thumb damage, injured finger, separated shoulder, dislocated patella in his knee. And the biggest thing was, the biggest indictment that you can get against is when your head coach says, we need better play at a particular position. He's talking to you. He didn't say we need better play out of our offense. No. He said we need better play at the quarterback position. Les Snead, the general manager, says he's our quarterback right now. Well, damn, you just gave him $134 million extension. He should be your quarterback for the foreseeable future. But that's not what they said. And when you start hearing the head coach and you start hearing the general manager, who's lockstep, foot to foot, when they start talking about this, I knew this was going to be a matter of time. I said, Jared Goff ain't going to be on that roster next year. So, look, it's a steep price. The only thing, E.D., that concerns me about Matt Stafford is that he hadn't beaten good teams. Sometimes, if you that dude, Peyton Manning went to Indy. Indy was about to move. They were about to leave Indy. But Peyton Manning was that dude. So if you that dude, you got to beat some of these good teams. He's 10-59 against teams that's made the playoffs. He's 0-3. They had a good situation with Jim Caldwell. They might have been headed in the right direction, but they fired him for Matt Patricia. And see what he got you, Detroit? Now let your boy get one of them old Ford trucks.
Okay. So what was the last word you said? Detroit. Right?
Yeah.
You said again, yeah. Detroit.
Stuck in Detroit.
Yeah.
Barry Sanders wanted out of Detroit, so he prematurely said, deuces, yeah. I'm gone. And I'm still shocked that he left as quickly as he left.
I don't even think Megatron made it 10 years. Megatron made it, what, 9?
Okay. So, Eric, I gave this trade an A-plus for the Rams. You are the Rambassador. Shannon gave it a C because he thought you still gave up an awful lot, and he's worried about Matthew Stafford's durability going forward. But as Bruce Arians said the other day, he's tough as nails, and his team knows he's tough as nails, and he will play through all that junk that he's been through, and he's been through a whole bunch of junk. Will it be cumulative? Will it start to weigh him down where he starts to regress and decline in skills? I don't see it because he's still early 30s. And he's going to have a rebirth in L.A. And it's just like you talked about Tom in Tampa. The weather is so good here. It feels so healthy here. I think his body will feel a lot healthier here than up in Motor City.
Yeah, and you mentioned he has a better offensive line here.
He does.
So that'll definitely help.
He played 136 straight games without missing a game. He had a broken bone in his back. And still, he wanted to play. He wanted to play. I mean, I think I think McVay can open his playbook up, really open
it up.
You don't have to worry about, I gotta trim it down. I can't make it too difficult. I mean, it's going to be just like Tom Brady. It's going to be like having an offensive coordinator on the field. It's like, I don't have to have you in my ear. I see it right away. I see what you see. I mean, I think that's the great thing about, we haven't had that. We haven't had that. And right now, I say, it's a window. Look, Aaron Rodgers is getting older. I mean, Aaron Donald is getting older. Jalen Ramsey, he's gonna be a year old. That defense won't stay together forever. So you've got to do this right now. I say I like the trade. I like Matt Stafford as a player, and I'll say this: I believe for sure. I mean, I think before he leaves LA, I think he'll win a Super Bowl here in Los Angeles. And winning a Super Bowl in Los Angeles is like, whew. That's big.
ED, the thing that I was skipping, I was talking about yesterday, you got Les Snead and Sean McVay. You play poker. They shove all in every hand. I'm like, dude, hold on. This is the first hand. How you shoving it already? So you don't really know if they got the nuts or they just trying to bluff you off your hand. But they shove all in. They went all in on Jared Goff. They went all in on Todd Gurley. They've gone all in on Aaron Donald. They've gone all in on Jalen Ramsey. They go all in. They're like, we're not worried about 2024. We're worried about 2021. And this gives us an opportunity to compete And yesterday, I think at Foxbet, put them at the third best in the NFC. Green Bay, Tampa, and the Rams were the third best to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. So that just goes to show you that a lot of people think this is a substantial upgrade, Matthew Stafford over Jared Goff.
Well, and one thing, you know, that's serious because they went after Aaron Rodgers also. They called Green Bay about Aaron Rodgers. They said, no, you know, we're not trading him. They called about Deshaun Watson. You know, they wanted a number two number ones. They wanted two number twos and your two best defensive players. Your two best. So they wanted Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. I'm like, oh, we good on that one.
Yeah. That's never happening.
Okay, so Eric, look to the north. Your arch rival in the division, San Francisco, is still stuck with their version of Jared Goff, who is Jimmy Garoppolo. Do you anticipate that they will fight fire with fire by going into the quarterback market and going after a Deshaun, maybe we heard yesterday, a Kirk Cousins? What's your gut on it?
Yeah, I think they will. They have to because I think they're like us. You know, they're missing that piece. You know, they have a great defense. They can run the football.
Yep.
And football, Chad, as you know, and Skip, you know too. It's on a time limit. You only have a certain amount of time you can win. It's not like the old days when we played. You know, you keep players forever. You know, you might have them 2 or 3 years, 3 years max. No, for sure, maybe four. That's a quarterback. So for sure, I believe San Francisco would try to go out and get them a top-notch quarterback. I'm hoping they don't get Deshaun Watson. Yeah. So you know, if they take Kirk Cousins, I'm good with that.
So would I be.
Well, I don't think San Francisco giving up Nick Bosa, Armstead, or Fred Warner. So if you think you'll get two or three, that ain't going to happen.
Okay, but Kyle loves Kirk Cousins because his father was the one who pushed to draft Kirk Cousins and liked him reportedly even more than RG3.
And guess what Kirk Cousins just played? Gary Kubiak. Wearing Gary Kubiak outfit. He learned it on the Kyle Shanahan, which is the West Coast.
Okay.
Could
Kyle work miracles with Kirk Cousins?
Absolutely. He just threw 33 touchdowns this year, Skip. He had 33 touchdowns, what, like 10 picks, 11 picks?
I know when he won a playoff game last year at New Orleans, but I still don't love him with the chips pushed into the middle.
I like him better than Jimmy G.
I'll go with that, especially with Kyle.
Yeah,
with
I like him better than Jimmy G.
I just wish they'd go and keep Jimmy G. You know,
I know.
I bet you do if they keep Jimmy G. And guess what? Kirk Cousins, he doesn't miss a start. The thing is, Jimmy G can't stay healthy, Skip.
Nope.
I mean, I understand injuries are a part of the game. And the ACL, we get that. But the high ankle sprain, it's always something.
Yep.
And if I can't keep you on the field, I mean, bro, I'm paying you $25, $28 million. I need you on the field. And if you're not on the field, you're not helping the cause.
Mm. And Shannon, let me ask you this question. Yeah. So when you look at the Rams, what do you think we're missing? What pieces?
Well, I definitely thought the quarterback, because far too many times Jerry Goff put the ball in harm's way, because he was really trying to give the game away to Tampa. You had that game in control, and he threw two horrible interceptions that almost let Tampa get back into the ball game. I can see a speed receiver. You probably should have kept Brandon Cooks because he was a guy that could take the top off the coverage. Right now, you got a lot of guys. Your offense is basically like the Steelers. A lot of jet sweeps, a lot of, you know, just quick game. Matthew Stafford's going to stress the defense. He's going to push the ball down the field.
Right.
He can push it down the field with a greater consistency and accuracy than Jared Goff.
Mm.
I agree, and we do need a speed receiver. I mean, I know in Detroit they have, I think, Kenny Galladay, who I think was injured last year. I mean, I could see him trying to get him on a one-year deal possible. I think he's a free agent, get him on a one-year deal because he's like what they call a baby-tron.
Yeah.
We need that. We need that one guy.
So, Eric, I want to congratulate you because now you are light years ahead of my Cowboys that you've got Matthew Stafford. Happy days are here again in Los Angeles.
Dak, y'all strike it out. Dak about to get that 40 mil.
No.
Dak about to get 40 mil, ED. And I'm going to get me a band, too. He's going to send me one of them old nice bands he be advertising.
Oh, really? Is that your permission for helping with the deal, Shannon? Okay, that's interesting. Edie, we appreciate your time. All eyes will be on the Rams, of course, and Matt Stafford next season. Looking forward to it.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called The People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness, or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
Tom Brady is preparing for his 10th Super Bowl, but his first since leaving New England this past offseason. When asked about his relationship with former coach Bill Belichick, Brady said, quote, "I have a great relationship with him. I'm just incredibly grateful for what he's meant in my life as a coach. He was everything you could ask for as a player." So, Shannon, are you surprised by these quotes from Tom Brady?
No, the one thing that Tom Brady knows, having been in this position so many times before, is that with all the media, even though it's not like it normally would be, Skip, but they're on this virtual call. And the last thing he wants to do to make it about something other than the game itself.
Agreed.
He knows anything that he says about Coach Belichick, now all of a sudden that trumps the Super Bowl. That trumps his preparation for the Super Bowl. So for me, he's like, we had a great relationship. They had a great player-coach relationship. That was, let me take that back. They had a great working relationship. That's the extent of their relationship, and I don't have a problem with that. But this notion that, oh, yeah, we were cool, because that's not what the reports that we got out of coming out of there from time to time, is that he wondered why he didn't have a better relationship other than player-coach relationship with Coach Belichick. So Tom Brady, look, Tom Brady is the master of moving his mouth and saying absolutely nothing. We've come to expect that from him. So I didn't expect him to give, it wouldn't be bulletin board, but I didn't expect him to give any fodder to anything that all of a sudden Tom Brady, if he'd have, it was okay. He knows anything that he says other than we had a great working relationship was going to be the news of the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden we're not talking about Kansas City, Tampa. We're talking about Tom Brady's relationship with Coach Belichick.
I got it. Quick aside before I unleash on this topic. You use the word Trump, lowercase t, as in tops this, right? As a synonym for tops. and I want to use it sometimes on the show, and I just bite my lip because now that word has such negative connotations that people, what are you saying?
Yeah,
it does. It trumps the, well, how do you mean that, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So when you said it, I was like, oh, whoa. But it's still, the word works.
Right.
With the lowercase t.
Lowercase.
Okay, got it. I believe that Tom believes everything he said yesterday about Bill Belichick. He's not just, he's not telling you the rest of the story.
Right.
Because I do believe he is completely, he says, incredible coach, mentor, and that he's incredibly grateful for everything he learned from Bill Belichick.
I believe that.
He is. He's smart. He gets it. He was blessed to be able to learn under him for a couple of years. Until Belichick started to grate on him, just the way he grates on everybody else. And remember, Matthew Stafford reportedly said, there's only one place I won't go, and it's that place.
Right.
Because for 19 years, it feels to me like Tom Brady had to win in spite of Bill Belichick. He benefited, obviously, as you talked about, from the defenses that have been routinely top 10 kind of defense, sometimes top five. He definitely benefited from a masterpiece of a master plan against the greatest show on turf in the first Super Bowl.
Yep.
So I'm going to give you that one. But in general, Brady spent 19 years having to be the good cop in the locker room saying, it's okay, swallow it, just ignore it. It's just the way he is, because Belichick can be just an incredibly sour tyrant.
Yeah.
dictatorial, and he was getting away with being an old school coach in a new era when Shannon Sharpe's going to say no to that.
Because he was winning, Skip. It is hard. People don't understand. Yeah, you can love your job. Tom Brady loves his job, but that doesn't necessarily mean I got to love my boss, because he makes my job. I love the job, but I just hate seeing you while I'm on the job.
That is correct.
And coach, this is what I think the biggest thing is that Tom Brady says, yes, I'm grateful for Coach Belichick, but he damn sure better be grateful for Tom Brady, too.
Yep.
And I don't think that gets enough. He says, oh, Tom, he did this for Tom. He did that for Tom. Tom was like, well, what the hell I do for him? Do you know what he was in Cleveland before me? Do you know what he was in New England before me? So how about I get some credit? You keep talking about what he did for me. What the hell did I do for him?
Yep. Okay. So when Tom said, I have a great relationship with him.
Yeah, I'm here. You're there.
No. I'm not going that far. If they happened to run into each other in public, would they shake hands? Yeah, they'd shake hands.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Give a quick little hug?
Yeah, how you doing?
Half hug?
How you doing, Tom? How's Giselle? Yeah, okay, Coach, how's Linda? Yeah, the family good.
That kind of thing.
I see you.
Yeah. I'll see.
You make me sick.
Okay, because this whole week for Tom Brady is about Belichick. Deep down, he is driven to show that he was wrong to push Tom out.
We got a great relationship. Our relationship's so great, I'm here, he's not. Yeah. How that working? Hey, you were right, coach. I couldn't play anymore. I couldn't play for you no more. You had all these shopping for the grocery. They ain't restocked the shelves in months. Okay. And wonder why I was looking like I was looking.
So Brady's game plan going into every Super Bowl is to try to say as little as possible.
Yes.
Don't distract from the team goal.
Correct.
He's all about the team goal. And all that matters is winning the Super Bowl, because if you win it, it speaks for itself.
Yes.
He doesn't need to rub it in. He doesn't need to take his verbal pound of flesh from Belichick during the week or after the game.
Sports might be the only relation, or only sports might be the only time that people ask you, what's your relationship like with your ex?
Yep.
But what's your relationship? Bro, we broke up. That's the relationship. That's the relationship like. We broke up.
Yep. So I have argued with you for 4 years on this show, going on five, that Brady was 75% of the reason for the dynasty.
Yes.
I'm now starting to think it was more like 80 or 85%.
Before he wins the Super Bowl, you're going to have it 9-10.
I might have it 9-10. And I think it's worth listening one more time to Danny Amendola yesterday on First Things First, ahead of, obviously, Undisputed, because he unloaded on Belichick, if we could hear it.
Do you think it's going to be harder for Belichick to get them to buy in when Tom's not there and they haven't all experienced the deep playoff runs?
Well, first things first, and when you see there Patriot Way in the dictionary, it's going to have Tom Brady's name next to it. None of those coaches threw any passes. None of those coaches caught any passes. None of those coaches made any tackles. They got guys in the right position because they watch a lot of film and they spend all their time at the facility. But Tom Brady is the Patriot Way, and that's the reason why Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl right now, and the Patriots aren't.
Mm. Mm. That little angry, he little angry, Skip.
He's a little angry, but I think he spoke it straight.
Oh, he spoke
it straight.
Yeah. Oh, no question.
Now
he told the truth, because like I said, he little angry.
That is correct. Danny Amendola loves Tom Brady.
Yes.
He caught a lot of big clutch passes. He was as clutch a receiver. He might have been beyond Edelman for making big clutch catches.
He might have caught the game winner against Seattle. I thought he might have caught the option route.
Okay, he did. He could throw it and he could catch it. So the point is, that was stored up in him. He had planned to say that, obviously. That wasn't off the top of his head. That was he had already decided to say, well, first things first,
cleverly. He was hoping that they ask him this question.
Something that remotely would allow him to answer it this way. And so he unleashed on Belichick, because he believes that Tom set the culture.
Right.
That Tom sort of invented, created, and furthered the Patriot way in New England more than anybody on the coaching staff did, especially the head coach.
Right.
So he got run out of town, too, by Bill Belichick.
After they made him take year and year of pay cut after pay cut after pay cut, he's like, nah, I'm gone now. I ain't taking no more pay cuts.
I'm done. So in the end, I told you that Brady said, okay, I'll take my football and go elsewhere. And I'll go to Tampa because they're loaded, but they went 7-9, and they're just in search of, in need of, leadership.
That one
they
piece.
Need somebody to show them how to do it. I'm going to show them on the fly with virtual OTAs and no preseason games, and maybe we can get it together quickly enough just in time for the playoff run. And they had December to remember, because he brought them to a boil, and he has created Patriot Way in Tampa Bay.
Right.
And it's a joy for me to watch it, because it shows you that Brady was the architect of it, because he just transferred what he created in New England to Tampa.
Yeah, Skip, you can have, look, even military, everybody has a ethos, a creed, or code in which they follow. But if you don't have strong people that's underneath to protect that ethos or that code or that creed, to implement it, that's what Tom Brady. Now, Coach Belichick might have wrote it on the way, you know, do your job and one, two, do your job and this, be time and be, put team first. All that's fine and good. It's great written on the paper, on the backboard, or however you got it wrote. But if you don't have a guy in there that can implement that and says, okay, guys, this is how it needs to be, and it needs to be your best player, if you can get that guy, they'll follow him to the, to the moon and back.
All right. which is why I believe Bill Belichick is getting exposed, not so much as a coach, but as a team builder, because he buys the groceries, right?
Right.
He's bought lousy groceries, and Tom Brady made them taste a little better than they deserve to taste.
Well, Skip, it was working, but now you can't get away with that. You just, it's kind of like college football. You remember how Coach Saban used to be like, we're going to run the football, we're going to play lights out defense. Well, the team that wasn't playing lights out defense, they was hanging 50 and 60 points on his defense with an offense. So what he did is, okay, y'all want to play it like this?
Okay,
well, I'm going to go get me some guys that can throw it and catch it.
Okay.
And we'll be okay on defense, but we're going to average 50 on offense, and I'm going to win me another national title. Coach Belichick's going to have to change his way of thinking. The days of you saying, I'm going to shut somebody down and hold them to 10, 12 points,
yep,
ain't happening.
Nope. No mercy.